I'm joined again by Rhonda Reif. We talk about ways to live with the seasons. We talk about ways to, understand different situations. And also, we've been talking about feng shui. And we talked about it starting with the spring cleaning. We talked about it in terms of how do you organize your life? How do you organize your house? How do you organize your business? All of those sorts of things that come into play. And I've got Rhonda with me. And Rhonda, I think we're finally out of Mercury in retrograde. Is that right?
Yes, June 2nd. June 2nd is when it went out, so that would have been last Thursday. So, yes, we're out of Mercury retrograde, so things are going to start flowing smoother and less communication things, bottlenecks. Travel will be a lot easier. The other thing, too, is that, you know, so last Thursday was June 6th, which this, we're in a 6 year. So the date last week would have been 6/2/6. So this month we have lots of portal things going on because we're in the sixth month of a 6 year. So look for all of those things that are going to have those numbers. You know, for the first 9 days, we're going to have all of these high energy things going on. And then as we get further into things will add up. Like, so the 12th of June will be a 3. So you're looking at, there's a lot of stuff going on as far as energy. This is a high energy month. Great month to spend time with family, friends, getting out into the community. And I think we're seeing a lot more of that now, you know, that it seems like maybe people are actually getting out and doing things more. There's more things going on, but there's a high, strong energy this month with that sixth vibration in the 6 year.
I was just thinking about, what is it, June 6, 1944, which happened to be D-Day. Was there, you know, any significance about that number or those day, that particular day to select as the day for the invasion?
Well, how about we take that? We can take that and look at famous dates for another show.
Okay,
all right.
Add those up. Remind
me and I'll have that ready for next month's show. But
okay,
it's kind of a funny story too. Our family always has a, talking about special dates. Our family always has a family reunion, and it's been called the June 4th picnic because instead of July 4th, we have something June 4th. Excuse me. And this year, for the first time I think that I can ever remember, because we never have it on June 4th. We just happen to pick a day, but it's always called the June 4th picnic. So for the first time that I can remember in my life, we're actually having the June 4th picnic on June 4th this year. So that kind of shows how this energy is coming together with everything focusing on family and social gatherings and all that kind of stuff, that things are really in alignment this month. I just want everybody that's listening to know that this is a really strong energy month to sort of get out there and take action.
All right. We're talking about the continuing series now. This is Feng Shui, ways to organize your life, ways to organize your house, your business, all of those sorts of things. And it's sort of been like you're mentioning, it's sort of like you've got to think of it as a tic-tac-toe board. If your house and your front door is at the bottom, I guess what, the bottom center of your tic-tac-toe game or whatever, and then figure out what each of those sections has a significance for a part of your life. Is that right?
That's correct. It's called a bagua in traditional Chinese medicine or in the Asian culture. And it's like a map or a floor plan. And you divide your house into 9 equal segments. So, for instance, if your house is 60 by 90, you would divide each section into 20 by 30. So it may not go by room. I mean, it can go by room because each room will also have its own bagua or energy. But you also superimpose this tic-tac-toe board over, you know, like you imagine you're floating over the top of your house. And the basement deals with your past. The main floor deals with your present and the upstairs deals with your future. So that kind of tells you what's going on with the different energies and things. But so you want to take a look. The first week we did this, the first month we did number one, fame and recognition, which would have been at the very top center middle row. Then last month we did family and relationships. And so that then would have moved to the second one on the column. Now, this time we're going to do children and creativity, which is the number 3. So on the tic-tac-toe board, it would be that furthest right-hand column, the square right in the middle.
Okay.
So it deals with children, creativity, creative projects. This is a great place to have a kid's room, a sewing room. Maybe you want to have a library or a den. That's where you're going to do crafts. You're somebody who likes to write. You know, maybe you're an architect. You know, that's a place that you want to have creative energy to go and work. is a great place too because it's yellow. Yellow is the color for that fun and joy and happiness. And so it's a real bright area. It might even be like a great place for like an atrium, you know, where you've got a lot of sunshine coming in or whatever. But it's a really good place for creativity and getting in touch with that inner child, not just children, but inner child. And it's ironic because in my house, it just naturally was a second bedroom. And that's kind of where I have, where I put my dogs when I leave. So, you know, they're my kids. So it's just kind of funny how you will naturally gravitate to this energy, whether you realize it or not. It's how that floor plan works in your house.
And so as you're setting it up now, in within each room, does each room have its own back wall sort of setting as well?
It does. Each room has its own bagua. So then you would stand at the door that, you know, that you come in and you would do that same tic-tac-toe board. So then if the room is, you know, 21 by 30, then you would divide each room into each section into 7 by 10. So you just kind of divide everything into those threes, those 9 segments. And then you can even take it so far, Steve, as each closet has a bagua. Your desk has a bagua. You know, so everything in your house has a specific energy. So, you know, in your creativity thing, if that's where you're going to sit and write at your desk, even dividing your desk into the bagua, then, you know, there's things that are going to be more creative or things that are going to inspire you, and you can arrange that even on your desk. So it's pretty involved in, you know, the number for the creativity is 3, and 3 is that number of inner child, spontaneity, having fun, you know, doing all of those kinds of things that are going to get you in touch with laughter and joy. And that's exactly, it has to deal with the organs of lung and large intestine. And so lung is where we store our grief. So this is an area where if you were having a lot of grief or something, that might be an area where you could sort of pick yourself up, because, you know, you want to use those yellows and pastels and white colors of white. White always magnifies whatever color it's put with. And it's going to help kind of uplift you. So if you're having kind of a down day, that should be one of those places where there's a little bit more joy in your house. It also controls your mouth, nose, skin, and hair. So those are areas, if you're going to have a lot of problems or you're having problems in those areas, I encourage you to look in your house and see, is that an area where there's a lot of clutter? You know, is there things I need to get rid of that don't work or no longer serve me? Because the stuck energy gets stuck on clutter and dirt and, you know, things like that too. So yeah, each part of the bagua rules a different element, a different color, a different body part, a different emotion. And of course, that just superimposes along with Chinese medicine. So, and the element for this particular area of the house is metal. So that is one of the things where, you know, you would find things that are metal if you wanted to use like metal picture frames to put pictures of your kids. You know, you might have cabinets that are made out of metal, or you might have wind chimes that have metal rather than wood. You know, so those are all things that you want to take a look at, and you want to put things in this particular area of your house in threes. You know, last month we talked about in the romance department or the partnership department, we did things in twos. And so this particular section, you want to do things in threes. So, you know, you might have the mama bear, the papa bear, and the baby bear, or you might have a little birdhouse that has 3 little birds on top of it. You know, little things like that do the things with the 3, because that's going to bring that 3 energy in, which 3 is that number of laughter and fun and spontaneity.
And you were telling me that a lot of major corporations do all of these things to try to make sure, in the way they set up all of their offices, the way they set up each of their individual office spaces that they have, and the way they set their desks up and that sort of thing. Is that that they really do get basically advisement on that? Is that right?
They do, and it's extremely expensive. I mean, it's very, to get a feng shui master to come into your home, usually it starts at least $10,000. So, you know, if you're wanting somebody, you know, to come in for that, or an office or something like that too. So $10,000 seems to be like this magical number in the Asian culture, because they believe that, you know, anyone who would give up $10,000 is very serious about it. But it has the 1 with all the zeros around it. And, you know, a couple of things. Disney's really big on this. Disney uses this in their parks and things like that. And what I also wanted to say was, you know, we're talking about, you know, business that use it. In the 1980s, something people probably don't know about me is that I learned to speak Japanese as a second language, because I always thought I was going to move to Hawaii and everybody there talks has Japanese, that's the first thing they tell you on a tour is English is the last interpretation. They start with Japanese because there's so many Japanese people that are there. But back in the culture of the 80s, which is when I had gone to college and things, that we were really doing a lot of business as a country with Japan and learning about their Japanese business models and how they, you know, did things. And then we also sort of started doing a lot of things in China as well. And so we did not understand the Asian culture, and they're very ceremonial. You know, they don't necessarily rush things, and Americans were making really bad business deals because they want to get down to business and then go golf. And in the Asian culture, it's more like, no, we have tea and we do golfing and we have socialization and then we talk business. And we didn't understand that because we're sort of an aggressive culture. But what happened was is we opened a lot of banking institutions, financial institutions, business offices in those Asian countries, and no one would do business with us because in the Asian culture, any financial institution or anything that has to do with money generally has an aquarium in it or fish in it because money is associated with flowing. They believe it should flow in and out, not just one person hoard it all. You know, it should just keep a constant flowing, just like energy. And so that's why you always see a lot of aquariums in Chinese restaurants. They most often are in the money section of the bagua of that Chinese restaurant, or they're by the cash register, or they're both. And so that's one of the things that we had to learn. But what I'm saying is that a lot of American companies incorporated this. They're not going to go around telling a lot of people that they did it because a lot of people wouldn't necessarily believe it. But it really does work on that subconscious. And so now I hope everybody will start noticing when they go to different places where, you know, there's a fish tank or, you know, whatever, those kinds of things, that there's, that's signifying the flow of life and money and prosperity.
Is there a source? Can you find a source to give you more information on this, Rhonda?
Well, the internet is full of it. You know, they can always contact me if they want to.
Okay.
There's a lot of, there's kind of a good book out there for dummies. There's a feng shui book for dummies. You know, stay away from the compass method if you're a beginner, because that's very involved and you get involved with the compass and the degrees, and they don't necessarily go by the front door. This particular method is sort of the basic kind of entry level, feng shui that we're talking about with here. So, it's, you know, but there's probably a lot of good resources out there for different books. And just, you know, a lot of things to just even start to read about the Asian culture that, as you know, a lot of my modalities and a lot of the things that I teach and stuff are based and entrenched in that Asian culture, because I just find it so fascinating. But, you know, you could be a student of Asian culture, modalities, traditional Chinese medicine for 50 years and still not know it all. It's just fascinating to me.
And again, if they want any more information about you, best website to go to?
I have that new website, RhondaRife.com.
Okay.
So they can go through there, and that's kind of easy. Rhonda Rife on Facebook, and also Life Pathways LLC. If they're interested in sort of more the workshops or the other side of things that I do, if they're interested in more sessions, one-on-one sessions, those kinds of things, they can go to thestressmanagementshop.com. But if you're looking for a number assessment or something Chinese-related as far as numbers or bagua, feng shui, RhondaRife.com would probably be a good one to go to.
Fantastic. Rhonda, again, we'll continue the series next month. Have a great month of June.
Thank you, Steve.